In James chapter 1, as we're going to be looking at in this particular study, we find that the chief aim of the book of James, or the writer, the aim is to encourage those whom he wrote to endure patiently their trials and to eliminate from their hearts and lives those serious defects which rendered them unchristian in nature. So when you look at verse number 1, in verse number 1, he starts out by saying, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Now I want you to notice that James, when he starts out this, he did not start out mentioning the fact that he was the half-brother of Jesus in Matthew chapter 13. In verse 55, he didn't mention that he was the brother of Jude in Jude chapter 1. But what he starts out by saying is that he was a servant of Jesus. And so he was a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when he looked at that, what he was showing is that he is showing his total submission to the service of the Lord. And so he says that I'm a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus. And then he writes, now he says, to the 12 tribes. Now when you look at the 12 tribes, what you're going to see is at that time when James wrote this, the 12 tribes to Israel. Now, in order to understand, you have to go back and you have to look at some things. You remember when the kingdom was split. It was split among, after Solomon's reign. You remember there was 10 tribes. There were 10 tribes that constituted the northern kingdom called Israel. And so, and then there was Benjamin, and there was Judah, and they combined to form the southern kingdom called Judah. And so, after the fall and after the deportation of the northern kingdom to Assyria, that was back in 722 BC, what we find is that some of the remnants of those 10 tribes, they filtered down into Judah, and they came to Jerusalem to worship. And if you want to read that account, you can go back and look at it in Second Chronicles. You read Second Chronicles chapter 29, Second Chronicles chapter 30, and chapter 34, and you can begin to see that. And they filtered down into Judah, and so they came to Jerusalem to worship. And thus they were preserving all 12 tribes in Judah's land. And so the Bible says that those 12 tribes were scattered abroad. And so when you look at that word, it literally means through a sowing. In other words, a dispensing. So at this time, what happened was that the Jewish people, they were scattered all over the world, and there was a Christian presence among the Jewish community that was throughout the world. And so in addition, during that century that was leading up to Christ's first coming, what you find was that thousands of the Jews, they drifted out of Israel. And they settled throughout the Mediterranean world. And then James, his primary audience, as he's writing this, his primary audience was those who were scattered because of persecution that was taking place. So there was a lot of persecution that was going on. And directly, it was largely by Saul of Tarsus. When you go back and look at chapter 8, Acts chapter 8, and you read verse 1 through verse number 4. And so what we find here is that James is writing. He is the servant of Jesus. He's writing to the 12 tribes of Israel, those who was scattered. But then notice what he says. He says, which are scattered abroad, and then he uses the word greeting. Now, when you look at this word greeting, it was a customary Greek way of opening a letter. And so he is beginning, he's fixing to open this letter, and he's fixing to help those that he is writing to. And you remember, it's similar to, you remember Paul and Peter, how that they would, with some variation, that they use familiar greetings. When you go back and you look there, you know, you would notice the term grace to you and peace from God, our Father. And you see that in Romans chapter 1 and verse 7. You'll see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2, and Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 3, and 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, and 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. And so these were just greetings. It's just like when you greet somebody. You say, hello, how you doing? But in that particular time, during Paul and Peter, their greeting was grace and peace be unto you. And James' greeting right here is, he is greeting them. And what that really means, he expressing wish for happiness, for joy, for those that he has greeted. So when you look at James chapter 1, that word greeting actually means cheer up. So he is trying to cheer them up. Why? Because they're going through persecution. And so now he's fixing to address the letter. So when you look at verse 2 and verse number 3, after he have expressed a wish for joy, what James does then is that James proceed to reveal how such may be experienced in situations which would by most people be regarded as the most unlikely one possible to produce various temptations. So what James does is that James opens up with a crucial topic, and that is the trials of life. He's going to deal with the trials of life. And so these verses, in verse 2 and 3, it describes the various testing, but also whether it was from the world, whether it was from Satan, or whether it was from God, into which you and I, and not only that, those Christians, it fell in. And so because you and I are tested, we are tested in various ways. And so these negative experiences are to be accepted. Notice, he's going to be talking about it with great joy. With great joy. Not for the sake of trials itself, but for because of the positive work that God can accomplish through the testing. See, God can accomplish some good things through what we are going through. And so what James does then is that James gets right to the subject of his letter in these verses. Now, again, you got to understand now, there was a lot of persecution that was going on during that time. And so James is basically going to tell them, listen, just face the problems that arise and you grow from these problems. So James speaks to them as brothers in Christ, because he starts out by saying what? He starts out by saying, my brethren. So he's speaking to them as brothers in Christ. And so sometimes, y'all, it's difficult. It's difficult to see when we are facing temptations, there is a lesson that you and I need to be learning while we're going through the temptations that we're going through. While we're going through the problems that we're going through. Because oftentimes, testing makes Christians bitter instead of better. And so it ought to be the opposite. That as you're going through testing, it ought to make you better. It ought to make you appreciate what God is doing in your life. And so James starts out by saying, here you go, verse 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So again, he says, my brethren. And he's talking about believing Jews that was among those that were scattered. And he starts out by saying, count it all joy. Now let's look at the word count. When you look at the word count, it means consider. It means to evaluate. It means to think. So what James is saying is, listen, consider, evaluate, think, count it all joy. Why is that? Because the natural response of humans to trials is not to rejoice. We don't rejoice in trials. And so the human response to that is that many times we are bitter when trials come. But what we have to understand here is that the believer must make a conscious effort and commitment to face whatever you're faced with joy. So he says, count it all joy when you fall. Not if you fall, but when you fall. In other words, it means unexpectedly. It means when you are surrounded, no escaping to them. And so he says, you count it all joy when it comes unexpectedly, when you are surrounded and there is no escape. You count it all joy when you fall what? In divers, in various temptation. In other words, it comes in all forms, shapes, and sizes. So you count, so when you are faced with some situations in your life, James is suggesting to us as Christians, you count it all joy. Wow, that's something. That what I'm going through, I count it all joy. Yes, that's what James is talking about. He says when you fall into divers, what, temptation. Now, that also means trials. It means trouble. And so some things, in other words, is some things that will break the pattern of peace, break your comfort, your joy, your happiness in your life. And so when temptations come, you count it all joy. Because you got to understand, who is our role model? Jesus. You remember Jesus? He faced every temptation. You remember when he went to the mountain and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights in Matthew chapter 4. You read that. And so Jesus faced temptations. And if Jesus faced temptations, don't you think you and I are going to face them? And so when we face them, when they come in our lives, don't get bitter about it, but you count it all joy. And so what is the main lesson? Here is the main lesson, the reason that you do that. The main lesson that you and I need to learn in temptation is this, and here it is, that God will help us face the problems. That's what you need to learn. That's why you can count it all joy knowing that God will help us in the problems, in the things that we're going through. But not only will God help us, but guess what? He'll see us through. And but here's the thing that you and I got to do. If you're going to allow God to help you, if you're going to allow God to help you to see it through, then you got to place all your trust in Him. And that sometimes get hard, isn't it? When I'm going through things, I trust it, but Lord, I don't see you. I'm going through this. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's an evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. So you got to trust God that God is there. He said He's going to be there. He is seeing you through what you're going through. And so we have to understand. But look at, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Because a lot of time we look at this 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, but we don't really stop and think of what he is telling us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. So let's look at it. He starts out by saying, there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. Now, when you look at that, many times we often want to excuse our particular tempting circumstances as very unique, but not only unique, but they are specially accepted. In other words, you think that you are the only one that's going through what you're going through. And so he's telling us, he says that there has no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. In other words, everybody, every one of us experience something. Every one of us go through something. And guess what? You may be going through something right now. And so we all go through something. So God has to remind us, even in this verse, that our temptation is not unique. It's common to man. We're going to experience this. But then notice what he says. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. We quote that a lot. When people are going through stuff, that's what we run to. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. We look at that. But what is he saying? What God has promised in this part is that God has promised to supervise all temptations that come at us through the world. God is watching things that we are faced with from day to day, the flesh and even the devil. And so what he has promised is this. He has promised to limit it according to our capability to endure it. And so as we see that, according to our capability, as we rely on him and not our ability as we rely on ourselves. So he's saying, listen, if you rely on me, if you trust in me, he said, listen, I'm faithful. I will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are. It may seem like, man, everything is coming in. Everything is crushing in on us. But God is still saying, I'm not going to put more on you than you can handle, than you can bear. And we got to trust him. But then he says, but with the temptation, also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So what is he saying? And we get back to James. What is he saying? God has promised to not only limit our temptation, but he's also promised a way of escape in tempting times. He will never force us. He will never force us to use the way of escape. He's not going to do that. And so he makes it available, but it's up to you and I to take it. So what this means is, it's just like an idea. It's really just like an idea of an army. When you think about an army, and they are surrounded by the enemy. And so what happens is, all of a sudden, the army sees a escape route to safety. And so they take it. They take this safety route. All right? So the way of escape isn't always easy. We have to understand that. It's not always easy. The way of escape does not lead us to a place where we escape all temptation. No, it's a place where we'll be able to bear it. Now, in other words, to bear up under it, not to take it away. Well, we got an example of that. You remember Paul? Over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. You remember he asked God three times to remove it. But what did God say? My grace is sufficient for thee. I'm not going to remove it, but I'm going to give you the strength to bear it. So God doesn't take it away from us, but he gives us, he helps us through what we're going through. That's why you can trust in God. So let's go back. So James says, as you go back, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers of various temptations. Why did I count it all joy? Verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. This is the reason why James' readers were to regard as an occasion for rejoicing the various things in life, the things that they had to go through. Because, listen, the children of God, you are to know that the proving of your faith produces patience. You ought to know that. As a child of God, we ought to know this. We ought to know that when we're going through things, it's a lesson that is teaching us that we got to have what? Patience. Knowing that we are to grow through this temptation ought to bring us some joy. And so when he says this, he says, knowing this, you already know what you need to know. You know that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So we have to look at this word trying. So when he says now, knowing this, the trying, what this word trying means, it means approving. It means approving. All right? It's not merely one's presence in such trials, but one's victory over them. In other words, the reason I can have joy is because of the fact that what God has brought me through. That ought to bring some joy. To know that God has brought me through this situation, it ought to bring some joy. And so that's what he is talking about. It ought to bring victory over one that brings spiritual growth and maturity. And so guess what? Those Christians And I want you to just think about that and remember that. Those Christians who God can use the most are those who God has bruised the most. So think about that. Those Christians whom God can use the most are those whom God has bruised the most. And many of us have went through some bruising. Many of us have went through some trying times. But God can use you to help somebody else because you are a living witness that I've been through it and God has helped me to make it through it. All right? And so he says now, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, here it is. I'm not going through. God is testing us. When we go through some things, we are being tested. All right? The trying of your faith. Faith is tested through trial and not produced by trial. Let me say that again. Faith is tested through trials and not produced by trial. Now, see, trials reveal what faith we do have. Now, when things are going good in our lives, oh, it's good to say, Lord, I trust you. But when your faith is tested, when you go through what you're going through, it reveals what type of faith that you have in the Lord. You say you trust him. Now you're going through this. How much you trust him now? I'm going through this. Everything is seeming like it's being taken away from me. How much do you still trust God? We're going through some trying times now. How much do you trust God? So he says about this faith. See, we got to understand, again, trials reveal what faith we do have. Not because God doesn't know how much faith. He already knows. But so that our faith will be evident to ourselves and to those around us. See, I'm going through what I'm going through. Not because of, but because of those around. Because they can see, if they see that I trust God, if they see that I have faith in God, even I'm going through some things, guess what? It's going to help them. It's going to strengthen them. But if I'm going through some stuff, say, oh, whoa, man, Lord, I don't know how am I going to make it. What kind of example is that showing to those that are struggling? They need to see that, hey, I trust God. God has brought me through, even though I'm going through this. They need to see that type of faith. Because when they see it, then they realize that there is a God. If he can bring you through, then he can bring me through. So as we're seeing this, and I hope it's helping us, because every trial becomes a test of faith designed to strengthen us. Every time you go through something, it ought to make you stronger. Now think about that. It ought to make you stronger. Every test that I go through, it ought to strengthen me. And so if the child of God fails the test by wrongly responding, guess what? The test then becomes a temptation. And not only that, it causes us to maybe do evil. So we got to understand. So guess what he said? He said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith do what? Work it. Patience. Worketh patience. Produce patience. Listen, trials don't produce faith. But when trials are received with faith, it produces patience. Think about that. See, patience is described the frame of mind which endures. That's what patience is. The frame of mind which endures. But guess what? The problem is that most of us, well, let me say all of us, you know, a lot of us, we are not patient. We are really not patient people. You know, we get at the, how you know that? Get at the stop sign, the stop light, and let it take longer than it's supposed to turn. We get impatient. And so there are a lot of things, because we are not patient. But if, listen, if we are to take on the likeness of Christ, then we must also become patient. Guess what? What if God wasn't patient with us? But you, ain't you glad that the Lord is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance? And so we have to be patient, all right? And so we see a very good example of that as I close, and I think of Job. Y'all remember Job? You know, in the Old Testament, you remember how much he faced? He faced great temptations, and he was patiently waiting for an answer from God. And then at the end of the temptation, you remember he was there was victory for him. Because, you know, in the end, what happened was, God, if you go to the end of the chapter, God blessed Job with more than he had before. Y'all, listen, we got to learn how to be patient. And so he says that knowing this, knowing that when you count it all joy, when you're going through what you're going through, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You learn how to be patient because you understand God is a God that's not going to get in a hurry for none of us. I don't care how much you try to rush God, he's not going to be in a hurry. But God is a God that he's a right now God. He may not come when you want him. You might be wanting him to come right now. Lord, come help me. But whenever he's come, he's on time. And so always understand this. So we'll pick up with James chapter 4. And I'm hoping that, you know, I've been praying, you know, what am I going to deal with on Wednesday night, but there's so much is going on, and James kept hitting me in the face because we're going through some struggles, and we got to learn how to deal with them. So we'll pick up, Lord's willing, with verse number 4. Again, we want to thank each and every one of you for your that are on our conference call. We just want to thank you for listening in. I want to go through the